Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Amen? Woo! Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We've been on a series called Justice, The Just Shall Live by Faith. And so I want us to just pick up, I guess last week, a couple weeks ago, we talked about, we were in James chapter 5, talking about the three believing actions of our justice, harvest. And we talked about how they are, be patient, and number two, establish your heart, and number three, grumble not. And so go ahead and watch those on our YouTube channel at Jeff Law Ministries, and you can pick up that a couple weeks ago. That was part number eight. And then last week we were talking about the saying part, how important the saying part of faith is. And so I want to pick up here Mark 11, chapter 23, Mark 11, 23. And we will kind of just recap here and then move forward. Mark 11, 23 says this. Verse 22, and Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Amen? Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. And good thing he didn't just stop there, but he told us how that is or what that looks like. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass or will be done, he will have whatever he says. So we see here in chapter 23 that the word say, Jesus, when he was talking to Brother Hagin one day was just praying, and the Lord said, did you notice in Mark 11, 23 that the word say is in there three times and the word believe is in there once? And he said, no, I didn't. And so he opened up his Bible and he turned here and he began to read and he goes, you know, whosoever shall say, you know, to this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. And he goes, well, look at that. Yeah. And so the Lord said, my people, the problem primarily is not the believing part. He says it's the saying part. And so you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part as the believing part. It's the saying part is important. The saying part. See, we found ourselves. We're in a world where the river is flowing this way in a negative. Everyone talks negative. You know, we talk negative to our car and negative about our government and negative about the kids and negative about everything. It's just our culture, the world is bent this way. There is an evil flow. And so for us to function and operate and live this higher life that God has for us, we're going to have to speak different. We're going to have to talk different. We're going to have to say stuff that lines up with the Word of God and not just culture, not just the way the world talks, not just the way, you know, when we are not on purpose, we can start talking the same way as the world. There's just an evil flow. You know, I'm just getting older and everything's falling apart. And then we laugh. You know, everything's sagging. Oh, ha, 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 ha. You don't know how, you know, I'm walking so long. My feet are killing me. Then just this stuff comes out. We have to just learn how to talk a different talk. Right? We want God results. We're going to have to talk like God. Think like God, talk like God, act like God. Amen? Want his results. That's the kind of results he wants for us. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so in order to get the abundant results, the life results, he said, I've come that you might have life. Right? Life. It's a good life. It's an abundant life. And the word abundant means super, super abundant, excessive, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living. That's like a whole lot more than people are experiencing. And that is a quality that is super abundantly and beyond what the world has, what the world is experiencing, what's even available to them without God. There's so much more. So much more. We need to learn how to talk. And so we see here, he said, whosoever shall say to this mountain. So this word, first word, say, is the Greek word that means to speak, to tell, and to command. So it's not enough just to talk about the problem. Problems don't go away because we talk about the problem. Right? We're going to find out in this scripture, he said, whosoever shall say to the mountain. So we're not just about supposed to talk about the mountain or about the problem. You know, we might discuss the problem. We might talk about it. I mean, you go to the doctor and he pokes here and says, does that hurt? Well, I mean, if it hurts, say yes. You know what I'm saying? Because if we say no and go and he touches it and we go, does it hurt? No. Well, how is that going to help us? So the issue, sometimes people have an issue with faith people. Why? Because faith people that don't understand a whole lot, they have a lot of zeal but no wisdom, they think they can't say anything. Like, does that hurt? Well, yes, it does. So how can we fix it? That's why I'm here, right? Doctor will think we're crazy if we come and say, you know, we want you to fix something, but he says, does it hurt here? And we say, no. No. Well, how does that get fixed then? He says, yes, but I want to be fixed. Right? And at the same time, we're still saying it. And we might not even have to say it to the doctor, but when we walk in before the doctor, we just say, listen, I believe the word of God. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. But there is a pain in it, and it's not going away right now. And so is there something that we can do to make it go away? I'm going to continue to do what? Talk to the mountain. But at the same time, I remember Brother Hagin saying this, that he had a number of things. They just got a new house, a number of things that he was believing God for and was on his faith list, and he would release his faith for so much. And his wife said, we need new curtains. And he said, you're going to have to believe for that. He says, my faith is completely stretched out. He says, I can't believe for one more thing or it's all going to fall apart. You know, like the straw that broke the camel's back. You remember, you understand that analogy? The camel was carrying so much that just one more straw. A straw is basically weightless. But just that one little bit, one more, break the camel's back. And so he said, I can't just put anything. You're going to have to believe God for curtains yourself. You're going to have to use your faith because my faith is completely, it's stretched right out there. And so that gives us a key right now. We need to understand where we are because we are where we are. And so, I mean, our belief in God for something that's beyond us, that we, you know what, there's no use in getting frustrated. We just need to understand where we are. Is that going to happen this week? Is it going to happen right now? Well, maybe not. I mean, because I'm not quite there. So then it becomes this growth process of how can I get there, right? So it's not a condemnation thing. It's a growth thing. We're all growing. They know where we are, so we can continue to move towards where we want to be. Amen? No guilt, no condemnation. Listen, we got all life, you know? Well, that's going to take a couple years. Yeah, well, everything's going to take a couple years. A couple years from now, we're going to be a couple years older. I mean, we might as well do something to improve ourselves over the next couple years, because in a couple years, we're going to get there and go, oh, I'm in the same place I've always been. I wonder why, because we didn't do anything to change. So let's just do something to grow over the next couple of years. So a couple of years from now, we arrive and go, hey, it's a little bit better than it was. It can be much better than it was, but we've been making some changes. Amen? This is a process. We're moving forward. Say, I'm moving forward. I'm moving up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see here that we need to talk to the mountain, not just talk about it. You know, too many times people are just talking about the problem. You know, all they talk about is, I got pain. Well, we understand that. But, you know, you talk about that too much and people just get tired of hearing about that. I got pain. What are you doing about it? Well, nothing. You know, the Bible says I'm healed, so I'm just expecting it to change. Well, it doesn't just change because the Bible says we're healed. Healing doesn't come by accident. You know, I mean, money doesn't come by accident. So anything, a peace doesn't come by accident. You know, people want peace, but they're worrying all the time. Sometimes we scratch our heads and go, one of those things makes you go, we might acknowledge the problem. We might talk about the problem that actually with someone who actually is able to help. Right? And you work at a job and everyone complains to one another about something. They complain with people that actually have no authority to make any changes. Well, that's just silly. That's called complaining. And we already found out that grumbling and complaining will shut the door on our justice harvest in our lives. But if we have a complaint, it's much better to go to the person who actually has the authority to make some changes and say, you know what, we've been noticing that there's this is not working very well, and I've been thinking about it, and I've got three different ideas, you know, that might solve and make things better. You know, employers do not like people that just complain and whine, and come and just say, you know, complain and whine and say, what, why don't you fix something? You know, what they really appreciate is someone that actually thinks about some solutions and says, I've got some solutions. You might like them, you might not like them, but I've been thinking about something, you know, that might make it better. They appreciate that. And that's how promotion comes. And that's how we can get more money, right? If we're working in a job and an employer, their increase can happen that way. But I want you to see that it's not just about talking about the problem. Talking about the problem doesn't change the problem. We can acknowledge the problem, and we can move forward from there. But Jesus said, whosoever shall say, tell, command the mountain, the problem, to be removed. So it's not just enough to talk about the problem to get rid of it. We need to talk to it. Not about it, but to it to get it to move. Amen? And then he goes on to say, and shall not believe, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says, the things that he says will come to pass. So that second word says is the word the Greek word lego, which means to lay forth a systematic set discourse. It means building line upon line. It's this building process. And then he says, and must believe that it'll come to pass and he'll have whatever he says. And the third says is the same as the first says. He'll have whatever he speaks, whatever he tells, and whatever he commands. This is our exercising our authority in our life. Not over someone else's life, but over in our life. We have authority in our life. Amen? We're responsible for our life. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to complain about anybody. We're going to kick anybody in the butt. We might as well look in the mirror and go, it's your problem. It's your fault. So what are we going to do about it? And really, on the one hand, it's not a negative thing. Sometimes, on the one hand, it's just ignorance. I didn't even know. And on the other hand, it is, I knew and I was just disobedient. So you know, understand, we just need to find out. Remember, I'm responsible for me. You're responsible for you. We can encourage one another. That's always fun and good. But when it comes right down to it, we're accountable for our own selves. So this is my kind of translation of Mark 11:23. It says this, we must believe and trust, based on these three Greek words, we must believe and trust that the words we are speaking, the command we are telling the mountain is coming to pass, being built and assembled, right? It's being built and assembled. We're building something. We're assembling something. We're making something happen with our words. That automatically ought to make us understand, or we ought to just see that not everything happens overnight. Because we're building something. We're building something. Some things just take a little bit more to build, to assemble. We must believe and trust that the words we are speaking, the command we are telling the mountain, is coming to pass. It's being built. It's being assembled. And we shall have what we are speaking and commanding and telling. Amen? So, Mark chapter 5. We'll just go back a few verses here. Mark chapter 5, we see this, the woman with the issue of blood. And Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, it says, "And a certain woman," verse 25, "a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." That's not a good situation. "When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment." Now, you need to understand, verse 27 is kind of a highlight. Verse 28 and verse 29 actually kind of slip right in the middle of verse 27. So let me read it this way. Verse 27, "When she heard of Jesus." So what did she do after she heard of Jesus? Verse 27. Verse 28, "For she said," and that Greek word "said" is actually plural. So it means she's saying. She kept saying. What did she keep saying? "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." That is the Greek word sozo. Whole, sozo. Saved, healed, delivered. To save, heal, deliver, whole. Preservation. Sozo. It's usually translated saved. Saved. Greek word sozo, translated whole. "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be healed." And straightway the fountain, now we need to go back to verse 27. So she heard of Jesus and then she began to continually be saying. And she got to a point, she was saying, she's building up her faith. And she kept saying until it got to a point where she was so convinced. She had such inward certainty. She was so persuaded that it was no longer enough just to say, but she had to go do. Amen? So it's like, I need to get dressed, and I need to leave the house, and I need to get to the hem of his garment. It wasn't enough just to say it anymore. She was completely convinced she had to leave the house and lay hold of his garment. She had to touch it. She had to fasten herself to that garment. Boom. Faith compelled her to take action. Verse 29. So she went, verse 27. She heard of Jesus. So she said, verse 27, and she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood, that flow of blood, was dried up, and she felt it in her body, and she was healed. Healed of that plague. That word healed is the word cured. She was cured, immediately cured of that plague, of that disease. And Jesus, she immediately felt, and Jesus immediately knew. She felt in her body. Obviously, she could feel that flow of blood. It was the pain or whatever it was. And immediately, she touched Jesus. And he felt. And she immediately felt that she was healed. And he immediately, knowing in himself that virtue or power, that's the word dunamis, the mighty miraculous power of God that makes all things possible, the dunamis had gone out of him. And I like the word gone because it's in the Greek translated as escaped. Power escaped out of him. He could feel it. He could feel the power. He wasn't doing a prayer line. He wasn't praying for people. He wasn't ministering to people. He's walking, teaching. He's just walking along teaching, and all of a sudden he could feel it leave his body. He could feel power yanked right out of him. She immediately felt it. He felt it. Immediately he stopped. The Bible says he turned around. 29, the blood was dried up. She was healed. Jesus, immediately knowing himself the virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press, in the crowd, and he said, "Who touched my clothes? Who fastened themselves to my clothes? Who attached themselves to my clothes?" And the disciples are thinking, "What do you mean? There's this crowd. Everybody's touching you. You're being bumped and touched. Everyone's touching you." His disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you. They're touching you. They're all around you. What do you mean who touched me? What do you mean who touched me?" I mean, they're thinking, that's a stupid question. Everybody, you're being bumped and, I mean, Everyone around you is touching you. What do you mean, who's touching you? No, Jesus said this. He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. By the Spirit of God, he knew it was her. What's he doing? He's looking for a testimony, right? He wasn't releasing the power of God. He wasn't praying for people. She literally yanked it out of him. And so he stops and turns around because he wants to hear a story. He wants to hear a testimony. He's looking for this woman who's got this smile on her face that can't be wiped off because she just received deliverance and freedom and healing from something that's been attacking her for 12 years, over a decade. She's been wanting this for 12 years. She spent all her money to get this for 12 years. And she is nothing better, but she's only getting worse and worse and worse. And she heard of Jesus, and she kept saying and saying and saying and saying. What are we talking about? We're talking about the saying part of faith. The saying part of faith. The saying part of faith got rid of 12 years of attack. 12 years of going downhill. 12 years. The saying. The saying. The saying part of faith. So that when she laid hold of Jesus by faith, it yanked that healing power out of him. He stopped and said, I got to hear this story. Right? It's a different story for him to come and say, let me pray for you, and boom. You know, because he's doing that intentionally on purpose, and he expects the power to flow. But someone just came up to him and secretly, you know, ninja, woman with the issue of blood, ninja woman. She just snuck in, boom, done, and she's off. And she, whoa, she could feel it, and he immediately stops and turns around. He's got to hear the story. He's got to hear a story. Why? Because this story is going to encourage others. No, let's keep going. So he looked around to see, and when the woman, fearing, verse 33, and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you healed. Your faith has delivered you. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you whole. Sozo. Go in peace, shalom, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. And be whole of this plague. Be whole, healthy, completely sound from this plague. Interesting. You know, we have the idea that it's the power that made her whole. That's the power that healed her. But Jesus said, it was your faith. So her faith connected with the power. Without the faith, the power could not be connected to. So if her faith made her whole, your faith will make you whole. If her faith made her whole, my faith will make me whole. Her faith. And so there's no, God's no respecter of persons. If her faith made her whole, our faith will make us whole. And her faith was released how? We're talking about the speaking of faith, the speaking part of faith. She said and said and said. She kept saying. She kept saying. And until we're fairly, fully and completely convinced that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, the more we say that, it's faith coming, it's changing, it's building faith in us until we get to the point that we're fully persuaded, and then it's time to take a next action. So, for she kept saying, if I but touch his clothes, I will be made whole. She kept saying. And then she took action and received justice. Is that what we've been talking about? Justice. Where God sets things right, puts things right, and makes things right. But God's justice is not something that just happens. God, justice is not something that happens by accident. Justice is not God's responsibility. He loves justice. Remember, we've been talking about that. He loves justice. God is a God of justice. He's a just judge. Will not the judge of all the earth do what's right? Yes.
But the door needs to be opened. He needs to be invited in. We need to work together with him so he can do it. And so that's why we talked about those three, the three believing actions to our justice. Justice doesn't just happen. We must be patient, constant, consistent, endurance, and perseverance. We must establish our hearts, meaning we must set our mind and our affections on things above. Look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. And then we need to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. Set our mind on the Word of God. Put the Word of God first place. And now we're talking about the speaking part of faith. We need to align our words with God's Word. Our words with God's Word. She kept saying, until she was completely convinced. And I think sometimes we just say it a few times, and we just wish, you know, we wish just a few times we'll get us fully persuaded and convinced, but it usually doesn't happen that way. Sometimes the first time we hear something, faith literally explodes on the inside of us, and we lay hold of it, and we have some changes. There's sometimes when someone gets born again, and they immediately something supernatural happens. To where they know a change happens. But there's a lot of things in our life from that time forward that there's a process. It just doesn't just happen like that. You know, we wish it. We wish it would, right? You know, we wish it would, but it just doesn't. There's this process, and that's why the Bible talks about the fight of faith. There's a fight. Why? Because the opportunity and the thought to give up is something that it will regularly come to us. So we need to fight the good fight of faith. So we see here, let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, the Amplified says it this way. Amplified Classic says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Huh? Faith perceiving as real fact what our senses do not sense. Right? You know, when you're about to walk across the street and we're taught as kids to look both ways. Why? Because if there's a vehicle coming, you stay. If there's no vehicle on then you can cross the road. So our senses are telling us, you see a vehicle, you stay. So our senses are helping us, but what happens when our senses are not giving us correct information? When all we see is nothing, and the God says there's something. It says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. When our senses cannot pick it up. There's a lot of things about receiving from God that our senses are the last one to find out, to figure out what's going on. Amen? We believe that we receive, even though our senses do not reveal to us. And then when we get it, our senses go, hey, we got it. And it's like, yeah, well, I actually got it back there when I believed I received it. And now we can shout because, yeah, now I have it, right? And now it's manifested. But there's a lot of stuff that we receive before our senses even sense it. You know what I'm saying? Amen? So, here we go. I used to teach this. Okay, now faith is the assurance. It's the confirmation. It's the title deed of the things we hope for. Faith is the title deed of the things we expect, right? The Bible word hope means expect. It doesn't mean wish. You know, our culture, when we talk about hope, is really watered down wishing. But Bible hope is expectation. There is a confident expectation, a joyful and a cheerful confident expectation, a matter of fact. And so, faith is the title deed
the title deed. And so I used to say that the word, why? Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I used to teach and say that the word is the title deed. You know, so if you can find it in the word, you know it's yours. And that's true, but it's not completely accurate because it did not say the word is our title deed. It said faith is. It says faith is. Now, I'm beginning to see, you know, I've been around long enough and see things that work in my life and things that are not working in my life, and see things that are working in people's lives and things that are not working in people's lives. And I've had to reevaluate what does this verse actually say, and not what I just think it says. You know, because sometimes we can get in problem and have an issue and not make a connection with the power because we're doing what we think it says and not doing what it actually says. Right? You know, you can think all I need to do is plug the light into the socket and it'll go on. And you can plug into a socket and nothing's working. Well, maybe you plugged it into the Christmas tree light and you got to flick a switch on the wall. It's not working. Well, I'm doing everything I know. Well, that just means we don't know enough. What do we need to know? Flick the light on the wall because that's the Christmas tree. Plug. Oh. See? And that's the way. When we find out from the Word of God and we dig into the Word of God, all of a sudden we get this, oh. Why? Because we don't know it all. But when it comes, revelation knowledge, and another piece of the puzzle comes and light comes, it's like, well, that's really simple. I mean, but it's only simple because now I know it. But before that, it's a struggle because why? We don't know. And we're thinking we're making a connection. We think we're making a connection, and it's like, it's not working. Well, God's got it all figured out. He knows everything. It works. So the issue is somewhere, I'm not making the connection. So we need to just tell you, Lord, help me make a connection. What am I missing? What am I not seeing? And He will most definitely help us. We need to dig. It's not worth just asking the question and then not think about it again. Ask the question and then begin to do what? Ask, seek, and knock. Because the askers, seekers, and the knockers, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. So we need to dig. It just requires some more effort again. It's not enough just to ask the question. Now we need to start seeking and knocking. He'll get some answers to us. Hallelujah. So faith, I used to teach, faith is the, I used to say the word was our title deed. And so it's partly accurate. But I want to just bring some more accuracy today. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So what do we see here? It comes. Faith comes. Every time we hear the word, faith comes. Every time we hear the word, faith comes. But it's interesting, when faith comes does not mean that we have faith. It just means it comes, right? You can order a package and the courier can bring it to your door. The package comes to your door. That doesn't mean you have the package. It just means it has come. Sometimes you have to sign for it. Sometimes in order to get it, you got to open the door and you actually have to receive it. Whether it's already delivered and you just have to pick it up and take it, or you have to sign for it. But just because it comes doesn't mean it's yours, doesn't mean you have it. Faith comes. Every time we hear the word, faith comes. But that doesn't mean that we have faith. So what do we do when faith comes? How can we actually have faith and not just have it come? There's two things. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse chapter 4 talk about this extensively, using the children of Israel as our example. God said, I've given you the promised land. Now go take it. And the first generation didn't. Second generation did. And those two chapters, Hebrews 3 and 4, make it very clear. He says, I gave them the land.
Right? God said it's yours, so faith came. But the first generation, see, there's two things. There's two things that we can do when faith comes. Number one, it's called unbelief and disobedience. Unbelief and disobedience. When faith comes, we can respond with unbelief and disobedience. So unbelief would be, I don't believe that. Right? So faith can come. We can hear the word. People can sit in the same service and hear the word. And one person can say, I believe that, and start getting results. And another person right next to, sitting right beside, it could be a husband and wife. Sitting, one can say, I believe that, and one can say, I don't believe that. One can get results, and the other one gets no results. Just unbelief. Unbelief. Now, the word is used interchangeably as God is talking about the children of Israel. It also uses the word disobedience. You know, they say, oh, God gave us the land, but, you know, there's giants. And so he said, go take it. And he said, no, there's giants. And so they believed God, but because of the obstacle, they refused to act. In other words, they were disobedient. These two words are used repeatedly over and over in Hebrews 3 and 4. Unbelief and disobedience. Because of unbelief and disobedience, they did not go in and take the land. And so if we then look in the mirror and learn from that example, we can see in our lives that when faith comes, we have two choices. Number one, we cannot believe it and disobey. Or we can say, I believe that, but we don't act on it. Right? So that's one option. One choice. When faith comes, we can, number one, unbelief and disobedience, but number two is what I call active believing. Active believing. It's not enough just to believe, because belief, see, faith is a noun. Faith is a noun which just means belief. Believing is an action. Believe is a verb. Action. So believing, so I coined this probably 25 years ago or so, active believing. I believe that. Then there ought to be some action tied to it. I believe that. So then my actions should correspond with what I say I believe. Active believing. So we have two choices. We can say, I don't believe that and disobey, or we can actively believe. Faith comes. So when faith comes, and we don't just want it to come, but we want to have faith, we're going to have to actively believe. Right? So when we hear the word, let's not do number one. Let's do number two. Amen. Let's actively believe. I believe it. Now what do? What do I do? I believe it. And now all of a sudden we need some corresponding action. James chapter 2 says this three times. Verse 17, verse 20, and verse 26. Three times. You think God is wanting to get this across to us? Three times God says this. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Unproductive, it's useless. I mean, we don't want our faith to be dead and unproductive, right? We want it to produce. We want to get results. When we say, I believe, we want it to get results. So there must be action. And the first action we've been talking about is our words. We must believe the word that we hear to have faith. Right? So faith comes, but how do I have faith? Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, what do I must do? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So it comes, but how do I have it then? How do I lay hold of it? I must believe. I must believe the word that I hear to have faith. And not just have it come. And then what? The next step is I must act on it. Because acting on it causes me to receive it. Acting on faith, acting on what I believe, causes me to receive and produce the results of what I say I believe. Action causes us to receive. So, to have faith, we must actively believe the word that we hear. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 14. No, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says this. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according as what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. We have the spirit of faith. How do we have the spirit of faith? We choose to believe the word that we've heard, and then we choose to act on it. And the initial way we've been talking about of acting on the word of God, the first way that we act on the word of God is to speak it. Is to speak it. I believe and therefore speak. And that's how the woman with the issue of blood got results. Is she first of all heard, right? She heard of Jesus. Faith came. And then she began to say and say and say and say. She's building up her faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And she's believing the words that she's saying until she got to this place that she was fully persuaded and could not just sit at home saying anymore. It was just, I must take the next step. I must get to Jesus and lay hold of his garment. And with that, she got dressed and left the house when she was not supposed to. She got there and she touched him and immediately she received. Amen? Immediately. And Jesus, she just yanked the power right out of Jesus. And Jesus, when he heard the story, said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your active believing has made you whole. Your belief that you acted on has made you whole. It's healed you. It's brought deliverance and freedom in your life. But it started because she first heard, faith comes by hearing, and then she believed. She believed what she heard, and the action she took was she kept saying and saying and saying and saying, and then the next action was it's time to get out. Amen? So the initial action is we need to speak. And then there are other actions after that, but that's something that we'll be led into. What's the next action? Lord, what's the next action? What other action can I do? But the initial one is speaking. So let's get that one going, right? Get that one going. Hallelujah. So a number of years ago, the Lord gave me this. You know, as I'm going through this and thinking about this title deed, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, this is what I began to see. Because it's not just, faith is the title deed of the things we expect. So it's not just the word is our title deed. It reveals to us what is ours. But our title deed, according to Hebrews 11, verse 1, is faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. It's not just the word, because as we've just seen, faith comes, but we don't have faith just because it comes. And so it's not just hearing the word that's the title deed. There's something more to it. There's something beyond that yet. Faith is the title deed. Faith is the title deed. And as I began to meditate on that and think about that, and the Lord gave me this statement. Faith is the substance. It is that something that makes us different, giving us hope and expectation. We are able to give testimony of the hope, the confidence, the expectation that we have. Faith gives us substance. We are to be a people of substance. We are not just talkers and babblers. What we say comes to pass. We believe what we say and speak with confidence and inward certainty and get results. We are convinced and are sure and talk with assurance. Here we go. That confidence, that assurance, that inward certainty and boldness in what God has said is our evidence and proof that we shall have what we say and see what we do not yet see. It's faith.
It's not just the word, but it's our belief and our confidence. And there's just this inward certainty on the inside. That's our confidence. She got to that point where she had such inward confidence that she couldn't just stay at home on the couch anymore speaking the word. She had to take action. And her next action beyond speaking the words, because she was so fully convinced, she boldly got dressed and left the house and went to Jesus and laid hands ninja style, pushed through the crowd, touched his garment, and boom! She felt in her body that she was healed. Jesus felt the power escape from him. And she testified. Amen? So we must hear the word, but then we must believe what we hear. And then we must speak what we believe. And then there'll be a next step, a next action. But we speak it because we believe it. And we become fully persuaded. There's this inward certainty. And when we have that inward certainty, that's the title deed. That's the evidence that lets us know we have what we don't even see. That we have what we haven't even don't even have yet, but that we actually have it. That's the evidence. That's the title deed. It's this inward confidence. It's this boldness. It's this assurance. It's this inward certainty. And I don't care if it takes a million years. It's mine. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. You can't beat it out of me. I know it. But you don't got it. I got it. Amen? That's your title deed. So that's why you keep speaking the word of God until you've got this substance, this something on the inside of you, this inward certainty that no one can talk you out of. Right? So if you don't have that about your healing yet, keep speaking the word of God. Cause faith to come. Until you have that inward certainty on the inside. Right? Build it. Build it. Build it on the inside of you. Build it big. Build it strong. And when you get that certainty, that boldness and that confidence on the inside, that's your title deed. That's your title deed. You don't even have to be moved into the house. You got the title deed, it's yours. Amen? You don't even have to have your healing yet, but you got the title deed. You know it's yours. Amen? Legally, it's yours. You've laid hold of it. It's got your name on it. Amen? It's yours. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? So let's go ahead. This confidence, back to Hebrews chapter 11. This confident act of believing is our title deed. That inward certainty that we actually expect to get what is ours. Amen? It's one thing just to believe that we receive it. Okay, I believe I receive it, and then I don't know. But it's another thing to literally expect. I'm going to have it. It's mine. I expect it. You know? Some people have this dream and this goal. Faith is not a dream and a goal. Faith has inward certainty. There's a confidence to faith. It's not just a wish or a desire. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 2. Now the elders. Now the elders. For the elders obtained a good report or a good testimony. So, that's what the rest of chapter 11 is about. It's the elders.
the elders, our faith elders, obtained a good testimony. We call it the Faith Hall of Fame. It's the testimony of our elders. Verse 3. Okay, so we are going to wind down here. Verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." The elders obtained a good testimony. How? By faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. So now let me break this apart. By faith, and we've already just talked about that. What does that mean? That's that inward certainty. That is that boldness and that confidence on the inside of us. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. This is not talking about creation. It would include that because God spoke. But this is really talking about the word world is the Greek word that means specific allotted periods of time. Decades, centuries, generations of past history. This Greek word, worlds. Specific allotted periods of time, decades, centuries, generations of past history. So what do we see here? There are generations of past history. There are specific allotted periods of time that faith framed. What's the word framed? The word framed means this. The Greek word framed here means this. To take an already existing thing and to mold, change, remold, change, or alter its outward form or shape. To take an already existing thing, to remold, change, to alter, or to alter its outward form or shape. So we see this. By faith, these elders changed their generation. They changed their life. They changed their specific allotted period of time. You and I can change our specific allotted period of time. You can change your life. You can change your history. We can change our history. We can change our history. We can literally alter, remold, change, and alter the outward form and shape of our future, our history. If we don't like our past or we want something better, we can change and alter our life. And this whole chapter is talking about men and women who changed their life, altered and remolded their history. Amen? How? How did they do it? They did it by the Word of God, and the Greek word the and the Greek word of, those small words, can also be translated by a word from God. The Word of God and a word from God. Now, a word from God will always line up with the Word of God. All right, if we say we got a word from God and it's contrary to the Word of God, then it's not a word from God. It's a word from the devil or our parents or our friends or our relatives or from whoever. I mean, it's just a word from somebody that it's not God, right? So a word from God will always agree and line up with the Word of God.
But how? That we can alter and we can change the form and we can change our history with a word from God, with the word of God. And so he begins to go on. So that the things that are not seen are not the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. So we don't have to. It's not subject to what we see. It's subject to what God says. And we can change what is seen in our life by the word and a word from God. We're not stuck. We can change our future. We can change our life. It can change. Say it's going to get better. Amen. It's going to get better as we take faith. Faith can change things. Faith is the title deed. It's this conviction on the inside of us. So let's just in the last few minutes. Okay, we've got just a few minutes. Let's just read some things. By faith, Abel. By faith, Abel offered. That's right. He took some action. He took some action. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away or accepted or received, are those Hebrew words. Why? Because he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And then we see this statement in verse 6 that it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is the only thing that pleases God. Faith pleases him. It's this inward certainty. It's this boldness. It's this confidence on the inside in what he has said. That we believe him and we're acting on what he said. This makes him happy. It pleases him. Right? By faith, Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. He had a word from God. And he moved with godly fear and prepared. Faith prepares. Right? Because we believe this is an action. Faith prepares. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Obedience is an action. When called to go to a place that he would receive as an inheritance, he went out. Action. Not knowing where he was going. All he did was take a step forward, and God continued to lead him. By faith, he took action. He obeyed. Sarah herself, verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child. That was impossible. For 90 years, she was barren. 90 years. But by faith, she got to this place where she was totally convinced and received strength, physical strength, to not only conceive, but to give birth to a child when it was past her age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. He's faithful. And if you just continue to read on, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, they spoke and then they took action. They spoke and they took action. They were believers by faith. They believed, active believing. Faith changes, alters, remolds, and reshapes our lifetime so it doesn't look like it used to. Right? Our future does not have to look like our past. And these are faith examples of men and women, elders, who have gone before us, who showed us it can be done. Amen? God is a God of justice. He wants to set things right, put things right, and make things right in our life. So let's work together with him so he can do what he loves to do. He loves justice. Amen? Glory to God.